News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sen Gupta. Let's have a listen to some of the top stories at this time. Rajya Sabha on Wednesday approved the Citizenship Amendment Bill, completing the legislative procedure for giving Indian citizenship to non-Muslim migrants from Pakistan, Afghanistan and Bangladesh. Replying to a 6.5-hour debate on the bill, Home Minister Amit Shah said the legislation seeks to provide citizenship to persecuted minorities in the three countries and not take away citizenship of anyone. He rejected the opposition charge that the bill was against Muslims and said they have nothing to fear. The bill was passed with 125 votes in favour and 105 against it. Besides the BJP, its allies such as JDU and SAD, the legislation was supported by AIADMK, BJD, TDP and YSR Congress. Earlier, the House rejected motions to send the bill to a select committee of the House, with 124 members voting against it, as compared to 99 in its favour. The House also rejected several amendments moved by opposition members to the bill, mostly by voice vote. The bill was passed by Lok Sabha on Monday. It will now go to the President for his assent. On why persecuted minorities from countries such as Sri Lanka were not part of the legislation, Shah said Tamils from the island country had been given Indian citizenship in the past and the present law is to tackle a specific problem. To repeated questions from opposition of Muslims being left out, he said Muslims from other countries have the right to apply for Indian citizenship as per existing rules. As many as 566 Muslims have been given citizenship, he said. He attacked the Congress, saying statements by the party's leaders match those of Pakistani leaders on not just the citizenship bill, but also on scrapping of Article 370 clauses, asserting that neither the citizenship bill nor the previously passed legislation making practice of triple talaq punishable and the scrapping of Article 370 clauses are anti-Muslim. He said, the present legislation is to give citizenship and does not take away citizenship of anyone. Indian Muslims are citizens of the country and will remain so, he said. Citizenship of Indian Muslims is not being taken away. Citizenship bill is not to snatch anyone's Indian citizenship. Muslims have no need to fear or worry, he said. Shah said the bill seeks to correct the wrong done by the partition of the country on religious lines. He went on to attack the Congress for alleged doublespeak on the issue, saying the party had, during its rule, given Indian citizenship to 13,000 Hindus and Sikhs from Pakistan without raising a word about the same for other communities. He also said the bill does not violate Article 14 of the Constitution as it does not prohibit laws based on reasonable classification. Muslims have not been included for giving citizenship because the proposed law is for persecuted minorities in the three countries, he said. Guwahati, the epicenter of anti-CAB protests, was placed under curfew while army was called out in Tripura and put on standby in Assam on Wednesday as the two northeastern states plunged into chaos over the hugely emotive citizenship amendment bill, officials said. Internet services have been suspended in 10 districts of Assam beginning 7 p.m. on Wednesday as massive protests raged across cities to prevent misuse of social media to disturb peace and tranquility and maintain law and order, authorities said. Internet services are already suspended in the entire state of Tripura for 48 hours from 2 p.m. on Tuesday to thwart attempts by mischief mongers to disturb peace. An order issued by the Tripura government also prohibits SMSs on the networks of all mobile service providers. As tens of thousands of anti-CAB protesters descended on the streets of Assam on Wednesday, clashing with police and plunging the state into chaos of a magnitude unseen since the violent six-year movement by students that ended with the signing of the Assam Accord, Guwahati was placed under curfew. However, defying the curfew order, protesters were still on the streets of Guwahati, where most arterial roads were blocked. An army spokesperson said in Shillong that one column each have been deployed in Kanchanpur and Manu in Tripura, while it was asked to be prepared for any eventuality in Bongaigaon and Dibrugarh in Assam. Field commanders and the army headquarters are monitoring the situation closely, he said, adding the action was taken following requisition from civil administration. However, Tripura Chief Minister Biplab Deb told a press conference in Agartala that army has not been deployed anywhere in the state. He said Assam Rifles contingents have been stationed in trouble-torn Dhalai district, while BSF and CRPF troops were standing guard in some other places. The Congress party has meanwhile called a shutdown in Tripura today. Though no party or student body had called a shutdown in Assam, protesters
A majority of them students fought pitched battles with security forces, including in front of the secretariat, the seat of the BJP government. Police fired tear gas shells and baton-charged protesters who fought back. Assam smoldered with protests rocking several parts of the state on the day the Citizenship Amendment Bill was passed by the Rajya Sabha. Some student leaders who went live on national TV claimed many agitators were injured in police action in front of the secretariat. According to unofficial accounts, hundreds of protesters have been detained in Guwahati and other places like Dibrugarh and Jorhat. Similar incidents were reported from Tripura's capital, Agartala. And the Supreme Court will consider in-chamber review petitions challenging the November 9 verdict in the Ayodhya title dispute today. The apex court had allocated the disputed site for the construction of a temple and granted 5-acre land to Muslim parties for the construction of a potential mosque elsewhere in Ayodhya. The new 5-judge bench is headed by Chief Justice S.A. Bobde and comprises Justices Ashok Bhushan, S.A. Nazir, D.Y. Chandrachud and Sanjeev Khanna. Justice Khanna is the new judge on the bench who has replaced retired Chief Justice Ranjan Gogoi. The in-chamber review will begin at 1:40 p.m. by circulation of petitions. A total of 18 review petitions have been filed in the apex court in connection with its November 9 judgment. 9 parties were part of the earlier litigation and the remaining have been filed by third parties. The bulk comprises review pleas from Muslim parties expressing discontent with the judgment. On Wednesday, the Nirmohi Akhada also filed a review seeking clarification on its role and extent of representation of Nirmohi Akhada in the trust directed to be created through the apex court judgment. It is submitted the role of Nirmohi Akhada has not been spelled out with specificity, which is necessary to rule out ambiguity and future disputes, said the Akhada in its review plea. The Akhada contends that the extent of its role is not spelled out in the direction and is instead left to the central government. The Akhada also sought restoration of other temples outside the 2.77 acres disputed site. The first review plea was filed on December 2 in the top court by Maulana Saeed Ashad Rashidi, the Uttar Pradesh president of the Jamaat Ulema-e-Hind and legal heir of original litigant M. Siddiq. On December 6, 5 petitions supported by All India Muslim Personal Law Board were also filed. The Peace Party of India also filed a review on the same day, taking the total to 6 petitions. On December 9, a review was filed by the Akhil Bharat Hindu Mahasabha and the other filed by 40 persons, including academicians and activists who jointly petitioned the apex court seeking the review of its November 9 judgment. The faith of one of the communities was consequently regarded higher than the other, thereby violating the secular principle embedded in the constitution, said the petitioners. Rashidi sought review of the verdict on 14 counts. He said the verdict condoned the illegal acts and also sought an interim stay on the operation of it. The apex court had directed the centre to form a trust within 3 months for construction of the temple at the site. The Akhil Bharat Hindu Mahasabha sought cancellation of the 5-acre plot to the Sunni Waqf Board in Ayodhya. And KL Rahul was determined, Rohit Sharma elegance personified, and Virat Kohli at his brutal best in India's series-winning 67-run victory over the West Indies in the third T20 International in Mumbai on Wednesday. The maximum city witnessed the maximum entertainment as the trinity of Rahul, 91 of 56 balls, Rohit, 71 of 34 balls, and Captain Kohli, 70 not out of 29 balls, contributed in a total of 240 for 3, which completely took factors like dew and flat track out of the equation. An asking rate of 12 from the start would be Herculean for any team, and West Indies in the end managed only 173 for 8, with Mohammad Shami 2 for 25 in 4 overs, enjoying a good outing in his first game of the series. With a cushion of runs on the board, Deepak Chahar 2 for 20 in 4 overs was also steady, while Bhuvneshwar Kumar 2 for 41 in 4 overs and Kuldeep Yadav 2 for 45 also got wickets, even though they were a bit expensive. West Indies were never in contention, and Kyron Pollard, 68 of 39 balls with 5 sixes in familiar surroundings, was nothing more than consolation for the visitors. While this is only a bilateral series, but the manner of victory, taking into account West Indies as a T20 opposition, and the swagger with which the host defended a total, will only help them gain confidence. There were 16 sixes that lit up the Mumbai skyline, with Rohit hitting 5, Rahul 4, and surprising everyone, boundary man Kohli had 7 of them in all. India needed a good start, but Rohit and Rahul made it a brilliant one as they conjured 135 runs in 11.4 overs. The true nature of the pitch, with no lateral movement, only made it easier as the batsmen could hit through the line. Rohit in particular pulled with disdain and also got on one knee to hit the slog sweep into the cow corner. Rahul was more classical in his approach, with shot square of the wicket, using the pace of the spinners' deliveries to play it as late as possible. But the man who made the difference between a good and winning score undoubtedly was skipper Kohli, who again looked charged up, enjoying his battle with Kesrick Williams. After Rishabh Pant's duck stuck out like a sore thumb, Kohli took it upon himself during the 95-run stand with Rahul as he demolished the bowlers. There was another flicked six of Kesrick Williams, whom he intimidated after playing each shot. Jason Holder was taken for 54 runs in his four overs, and the fifth bowling combination of left-arm spinner Kerry Pierre, none for 35 in two overs, and Pollard, none for 33 in two overs, gave away 68 in their four. In fact, any hopes of a competitive game were over when Kohli smashed 27 of Pollard in the 19th over of the innings, as it included three sixes and a four. An over before that, 17 were taken of Williams. West Indies started their chase with a handicap as Evan Lewis was ruled out after sustaining an on-field knee injury. The only time there was some fight between bat and ball was when Pollard and Shimron Hetmyer, 41 of 24 balls, added 74 runs in 6.2 overs. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.